And we are glad that you're with us on this Thursday morning. It is Don and Steve, and I guess that's kind of the royal we and us this morning, because Don is actually off on vacation this week and hope she's having a great time with her family. We'll be back next week and looking forward to getting her back in the studio here. But that means we had some big shoes to fill. Thankfully, he does not have to fill the tiara or wear the pink, sparkly, glittery things. But Dr. Mark Turman, who's the executive director at the Denison Forum, joining us this half hour. Mark, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Great to be with you. And no, I'm not looking for a tiara, but you mean I don't get a crown like Charles? You know, I mean, I could wear it.
You want a crown like Charles?
Yeah, why not?
I'd take one. I mean, do you think of what that thing is worth? I'd take it for that, if no other reason right there.
Yeah, and from what I hear, you have to do exercises to strengthen your neck because it weighs so much, and, you know, it's hard to keep it in the right place, right?
Right. That's a small price to pay for being able to have that crown. But speaking of paying prices, our kids are paying a price due to what is happening in culture today and in social media. And, Mark, looks like our Surgeon General was just fairly recently kind of weighing in on this.
Yeah, this is a pretty big story, really, because the Surgeon General obviously is charged with overseeing the health of the nation. And it's very rare that they come out with this kind of a significant warning about something in our culture. All of us, when we think of the Surgeon General, we think usually we just all flash back to his warnings over more than 50 years now about the dangers of smoking. And we all, at least people in my generation, can remember reading that little warning on the side of my dad's cigarettes about the dangers to your health. And so we kind of relate to that. And this week, the Surgeon General came out with a very strong statement about the dangers of social media on children, and particularly on what we would call preteens and those into their early 20s. And it was really remarkable for him to come out with this strong statement. But it is something that we at the Denison Forum have been watching for a while. We've written a number of articles about it. And I go back to what one person on our team discovered in his research, and that is that we basically have thrust our culture and particularly our kids into a social experiment with no idea where it might come out. And we're doing it at scale. We're doing it at big scale. One of the things that you can find on our website is an article written by our associate editor, Mark Legg. He unpacked the report of the Surgeon General, and it depends on how you want to date this, but some people will remember the social media site MySpace, which was the forerunner to things like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I can remember going into my office one day at the church I pastored, and they were talking about MySpace, and we were all looking at the computer screen trying to understand what that was, and we were so intrigued. Well, now that has proliferated over 20 years, but what we're seeing in the work of Tim Elmore and a number of others, the Surgeon General now, is that we have completely shifted the way that that a lot of people, but particularly our children, our teens, are understanding their social world and building an understanding of their own identity, because we do a lot of that. We build a lot of our understanding of ourselves through relationship with other people. And many of our teens are now doing that in a virtual way rather than in an actual way. And it's become really challenging and in many, many ways destructive, particularly in the areas of mental health, anxiety, depression, and some very disturbing indications about the increase of self-harm and suicide attempts.
You know, we have seen some of the studies over the past number of years that have been kind of saying that this is the case and we're heading this direction. So the acknowledgement from the Surgeon General is nice to basically say, hey, all that stuff seems to be true. We're going that direction. It is making an impact on our kids. We hear a lot about depression, anxiety, but you used a word a moment ago that I'm not sure that some of us have tied identity into social media use, especially as we maybe even think about gender identity and things along those lines. Is social media playing a factor, not just in terms of, you know, can I keep up with the Joneses? Do I have value and worth because my pictures are cool and I get so many likes, but even in terms of how I define and identify who I am.
Oh, absolutely. Pastor Chris Brooks, who pastors in the Detroit area, talks about this, that we are in an age where the most profound questions that are on our minds right now are what he calls anthropological questions, questions about what does it mean to be a human being, questions about what am I and where did I come from, why am I here and where am I going? Those are very profound questions that all of us ask intuitively in various ways, and they're really wrapped up in this big concept called identity. Who am I? What am I? And we have always created, and every person has had to wrestle with those questions and build an identity. And we particularly do that as we enter into our teen years. We're always doing it through every season of our life, but that formative season of being a preteen and then a teenager is very, very fundamental to the development of identity. And when we go to school, before the days of social media, I liken it to putting on different kinds of clothes. And sometimes even literally, that's what teenagers are doing. They are putting on different kinds of clothes to see how that might express their understanding of who they are. And they're doing that. You know, I can remember going into middle school and I told my mom, I said, look, no more blue jeans and no more t-shirts. I've got to have khakis, and I've got to have this kind of shirt, and I've got to have this kind of shoe, because I went the first day, and that's what all of my friends from elementary school had shifted to. And I was like, well, if I'm going to fit in, if I'm going to have an identity with them, then I have to become like that in some way. And we do that with other things. But now we're doing that through the virtual reality of social media. And the uniqueness of that is you can always present your best self, mm-hmm. And not the full picture. And that's the problem with building identity online instead of in actual relationships with family, friends, neighbors, classmates, teammates, that type of thing. The problem with it is you're only getting a small portion of the reality. You're not seeing the whole thing. And you're doing it with oftentimes with people that you never see in real life. Yeah. People, you know, the thing about the internet is, right, you can see people from everywhere, anytime, and not see them in the full expression of who they are when you know them personally, because you live on the street, same street with them, you go to the same school, or you ride the same bus, you play on the same team. And so it's a very skewed picture, and sometimes even in social media context, we're learning this is where predators go.
Yeah.
And sometimes teens think that they are talking to other teens when in fact they're not. They're talking to adult predators who are looking for ways to groom them into relationships that are going to be even more destructive.
You know, I think when we know this and understand this, there can be that cry to, we need to take action, but the government has been slow to regulate that. And why is that the case? We'll get into more of this conversation with Dr. Mark Turman coming up in just a few moments. You want to connect with him and with the Denison Forum? You can do that online, thedenisonforum.org. And we're glad that you're here as we continue the conversation with Dr. Mark Turman. Mark is the vice president, the executive director of the Denison Forum, and he is the host of the podcast, super busy and taking on more and more responsibility there. So I appreciate you carving out a few minutes and helping us think through and think biblically about what is going on in culture today. And just recently, the Surgeon General came out and said, social media is a problem with our kids. I'm like, yeah, you think? Really?
Yeah.
It's impacting identity in so many big ways, and saying we need to take action. But the government has been slow to regulate on this. Why would they be so slow if we know that there's a problem, Mark?
Well, I think we have to step back. You know, we're quick to blame the government, quick to blame Congress for not acting in a more swift fashion. But we have to remember a couple of things. One is our government is designed to move slowly in most cases because we have a system of checks and balances. We have to realize that the Congress, especially, you know, on a national level, the Congress and the government are charged with steering a very big ship that has more than 330 million people in it, a very large landmass, and there are there's just a lot of complexity. And so that, along with having a system of checks and balances, means that our government does move slowly when it comes to the development of legislation and policy. The other thing we have to remember in this conversation is that all of this is new to all of us, not just our kids. Mm-hmm. We could talk a long time about leaders like Mark Zuckerberg and innovators and that type of thing. But we are all experiencing something of the reality of unintended consequences. I don't think all of the social media creators and companies are maniacal and trying to create something destructive. I don't think we could say that perhaps 100%, but I don't think that's where we started. But there is a factor of unintended consequences. Nobody knew how this would work. And, you know, Thomas Friedman, who is a social commentator, writer, wrote a book a few years ago called Thank You for Being Late. One of the things he likened what we are able to do now through the internet and through supercomputing, he likened that to the discovery of fire. And anytime you have the innovation of something as powerful and as large as the internet and computing at the pace that we can now compute technology and data, it's going to take a while for us to understand what are the benefits and what are the dangers. But now, 20 years in to this innovation of social media, we are getting some real clear correlations. No one's really stepping out to call it a causation, but we're moving closer to that. But there are strong correlations about the negative effects of social media, particularly on our children. And the government is trying to understand that. We all personally are trying to understand that. But here's the problem. We can't lose a generation while we're waiting to discover all of the outcomes. Yeah. And we have to respond to what we see in terms of the trends that are in front of us that we mentioned a moment ago, anxiety, depression, even actual threats. We've written in our ministry about the fact that parents right now seem to be making the mistake that they are overly cautious about their kids' actual physical involvement in their neighborhoods and with other people, but they are underprepared and undercautious when it comes to their children's engagement online and in social media. The average teenager today is spending somewhere around 6 hours of uninterrupted time on social media, not related to school, not related to anything else, just their social engagement. And wow, we're seeing some incredibly negative effects from that reality.
Well, the negative effects are there. And as you say, that really should cause moms and dads and parents to step up and say, we need to handle this differently. We need to put some healthy boundaries around that. But I think one of the challenges with that, Mark, is so many of us parents have gotten kind of hooked on the hit of the social media dopamine hit when we get the likes and all the things. You know, we're addicted too. And so hard to put those boundaries around our kids when we struggle to keep them. Do you ever foresee a day, I'm kind of curious as your thoughts, do you ever foresee a day when, like cigarettes, the Surgeon General has put a warning on the side and said, this is potentially dangerous to your health? We may, in some way, kind of say, you know what? The internet, social media, the instant access to everything is potentially dangerous to your mental health.
Yeah, I absolutely think it may not come first from him. I think it may be that it comes from other people first. And we're already seeing that. We're seeing it, you know, if you remember the movie that came out a couple of years ago, The Social Dilemma, one of the things that we learned out of that docudrama type movie was that some of the people that even created this stuff, some of the technology experts in Silicon Valley, Steve Jobs being the most noteworthy one, they wouldn't let their own children participate or engage with the stuff that they were creating because they were starting to sense in some way the negative possibilities that were there. And I think we're going to see more of that. But of course, the problem is that There's so much profit opportunity in these environments. But the social experiment is not just our children. They're the most vulnerable, but it is all of us. And one of the things I've been thinking about recently, Steve, is it's interesting what you see and who you see when you're on social media, but it's also interesting who you don't see. When you start thinking about the people that you know or the people that you might have read something that they wrote or something has caused you to know something about them and you admire them, and if you start looking for some of those individuals, you find out that they have little to no presence on social media. And I'm wondering if that's not a marker for us in a very significant way. And so what we have to learn in this new technology is we have to learn boundaries.
Yeah.
And we need to put in my opinion, we need to have a conservative approach, not a let's go try everything and then see what turns out to be bad. I think we have to go in very, very cautious steps. And I think we're seeing the pendulum move in that direction because we're seeing so many negative outcomes now 20 years into the social media experiment.
We are talking with Dr. Mark Turman this morning. He is the executive director of the Denison Forum. They've been paying attention to this, weighing in on this, and have a new article that has just been published, written by Mark Legg, that is on their website. Encourage you to connect with that. And I love what they're doing at the Denison Forum, just taking a look at what is going on in our world, in culture, in the news headlines, and helping us respond and think biblically to that. So encourage you to go check it out. DenisonForum.org is the website. That's DenisonForum.org. And that is a great way to not only take this program, but other Moody Radio programs and internet stations with you. If you're a fan of Southern gospel music, we got that. If you like urban praise, we got that. Praise and worship music and so much more. It's all available through the Moody Radio app, which you're going to find at your app store. Simply look for Moody Radio. So, Cindy, appreciate your text as we were just talking a few minutes ago about just the wild open west of the internet and social media and all of that and why the government has been slow to regulate. And you said, and this is a great point, we can't depend on the government to regulate us. Aren't we responsible to regulate ourselves? I think you're right about that, sister. Said, I pray that the sharing of this information will cause people to listen. Talking to myself as well. I get it. Me too. That is one of the reasons that I personally had to take pretty much all social media, including Facebook and Instagram and everything, off the cell phone. Yeah, I still have some of those accounts that I can access through a laptop, but it's a whole lot more burdensome to have to carry around a computer or go find a computer, open it up, log in, do all that kind of stuff. So that's just been one of the boundaries that I've set for me in terms of cutting down on that temptation to just mindless scroll. You know, you realize how much time can be wasted doing that. We don't even realize that until if your phone does what mine does and it sends that weekly update telling you, hey, this is how much screen time you've had this past week. You're like, ah. So having taken social media off, so many of those apps off my phone, I'm starting to see a difference in terms of the amount of screen time that is spent looking at the phone there. So maybe that's something to consider. Maybe there's ways that you have found to put boundaries around your consumption of social media and helping you stay engaged with the people right in front of you. Love to know what that is. Maybe we can share some ideas and encouragement with each other this morning. The number to text in, 800-555-7898. How have you put boundaries around your media consumption, whether it be on a television, a tablet, or a phone? How have you put some healthy boundaries around that and learned to kind of control that a little bit? Love to know. 800-555-7898 here on Moody Radio. I know, I find that ironic too, talking about social media and learning to put healthy boundaries around that and find us on Facebook. But, you know, and that's one of the things. Social media is not necessarily bad. It's all about how we use it, right? Making sure that we have good and healthy boundaries around that. And if you found a way to do that that works for you, I'd love to know what that is this morning. You can text in at 800-555-7898. Well, one of the social media platforms that a lot of people have been using, and I've heard many people say is one of their favorites, ran into a little bit of trouble yesterday. We were talking about this just ever so briefly yesterday morning, that it was expected that Ron DeSantis would announce his candidacy for president on Twitter yesterday. And that indeed is what did happen, but it did get off to a pretty rocky start, because they seem to be plagued by some technical difficulties, which persisted for more than 20 minutes before the governor was able to deliver his speech and then get into a Q&A session right there. He filed this paperwork in the afternoon, and then at 6 p.m. yesterday, the Twitter event that was supposed to get underway right at 6 with Elon Musk and moderator David Sacks, they ran into some issues. It was somebody there said, hey, we've got so many people who are trying to get on here. We're kind of melting down the servers, which is a good sign. Some over 300,000 people were supposedly trying to get in and watch this and cause some of those technical glitches. But whatever the cause, it did mar what was supposed to be kind of a triumphant moment for him as he debuted as a national candidate after years about him potentially being that. I don't think anybody's necessarily surprised that he announced yesterday. I think if you've been watching the world of politics, this would be one of those things that you would say, not a shock that that did happen. Hey, we're glad that you're here on this Thursday morning. Don and Steve in the Morning on Moody Radio.